B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
We have Adam Schefter going to join us here on the Comcast Business Hotline. He's coming up. And we now enter into vacation time. Most of the NFL franchises now sort of shutting it down where they will get people out of the building. So, you know, the coaches go on vacation. They head on out there and take care of business. So we probably do end up into a very much more quiet time. And Adam joins us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Every day in business is a big day, so get ready for what's next. Adam, it seems like a lot of the franchises now go into shutdown mode. Mm-hmm. What do these coaches do? Do they really get away? Are some of them still getting into the office, or do people really get away?
No, I think people really get away. I mean, look, these guys go so hard during the season. And once, you know, the end of July rolls around, they're in there 7 days a week, basically, you know, all hours of the day. And so I really, I'm sure there are exceptions. There may be some stragglers that stick around and people who maybe aren't married, don't have families, don't have children, whatever it may be, and feel like they, you know, that's where they're most happy. But I think by and large, coaches clear out. They go on vacation. They spend time with their families that they don't get to spend here for the next 4, 5, 6 months. So, no, I think most people are gone.
We are very, very happy that the Eagles did not go the route of Deshaun Watson, and they weren't even really in the mix with it because it doesn't seem like he wanted to be there. How much of a black eye does this situation and the Daniel Snyder now situation that's evolving, how much black eye in the league PR-wise do you think that could potentially happen since it's all happening during the quiet time?
Well, I mean, look, these are unique situations, right? But there's always something swirling around the NFL, right? I mean, whatever it is, there's always some sort of contract. This is obviously unique and different, sensitive, all those things like that. But I think the NFL is always used to dealing with something. Now, you know, these two particular situations, there are some parallels on it, and I think it'll be interesting to see. I know that the discipline and the CBA isn't the same for a player as it is for an owner, but if they go through in the investigation in Washington and uncover certain things and Deshaun's disciplined in a certain way that others aren't, I think there's going to be a lot of people that try to connect dots, make connections, parallels, whatever it may be, right? And so we're going to see how the league handles something like this that obviously is very significant and important.
Shefty, we've seen how the Eagles are handling or have handled OTAs and talking about practice and not using all of their allotted time to get on the field because that's what Nick Sirianni deems best for this team. Is that becoming a trend throughout the league? I don't know practice schedules of all the other teams in the NFL, but do you see more teams taking less time to preserve bodies as opposed to getting out on the field with all of the allotted time that they are allowed?
Well, you know what's interesting about that is that the new CBA cut back on the number of practices and sessions that every team could have. And initially, coaches weren't all that enthralled with that idea. But even as those sessions and practice times were cut back, then teams, I think, have adapted and wound up cutting back more. Like, you see teams at training camp all the time, oh, we're going to cancel this practice, or instead of this practice, we're taking our team on a whitewater rafting trip, you know, bowling, whatever it may be. You know, so I think it goes to show that as much as these coaches love to practice it, that all these sessions may not be as important as everybody's always made them out to be. You know, it's also come so far over time. Like, I remember when I was out in Denver in the early 90s, and I would go to training camp for the summer. Training camp, first of all, would be 3-4 weeks. And it would be two-a-day practices.
Yes.
Multiple days a week. Like, I don't want to say every day because that might be too... Well, they would practice twice a day. I would say 5 days a week.
And then it was two, and then you could... The next day you could go one, and then the next day you could go two again.
Well,
They eased up a little bit.
Yeah, John, I'm just telling you, I remember going to Greeley, Northern Colorado in the early 90s. And it seemed like it was two every day.
It was back then, yes.
It always seemed like, the way I remember it, one was in pads and real heavy hitting, and the other was a little more laid-back practice, but it was every day. That's every day, basically. You know, the players would get a day off, but these guys would clobber each other. And I remember going around My first year at ESPN, which would have been summer of 2009, going around to training camps, and you know, I remember the one training camp that stood out to me that was absolutely the most physical, with the most hitting, was the Philadelphia Eagles under Andy Reid. Those guys were clobbering each other. Now, maybe it was just the day I was there, but wow, they were getting after it. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, it's just, you don't see that in today's day and age. There's a lot more preservation, a lot more mental reps, emphasis on other things in practice. But practices back then, they used to be so physical. These guys would pound each other.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Adam, with the dead period going on, as we talked about with coaches, what do you do? Obviously, your workload during the season is insane, so I'm sure you like to take a step back. But on a day like this, when there's not a ton of news coming out, what exactly do you do to kind of bide your time?
Well, today, I'm actually involved in two charity functions. I'm emceeing two charity functions that I put on the calendar.
Excellent.
Back in the day. So both are in New York City, so I'm headed to the city today to MC two different fundraisers, one from 11 to 1:30, another from 4 to 6:30 today. And so that's an example where you go and do things on a day like this that you ordinarily wouldn't get to do, right? So
do you like doing that? Are you comfortable up there sort of like MCing a thing like that? Cuz I don't know, I don't know you enough doing that.
Oh yeah, no, I'm definitely comfortable doing that. I mean, that's not an issue. You know, the whole issue on these things is time, always scheduling.
Sure.
Right. Like, so during the season, if there's ever any time where something like this is possible, it's really hard during the season to take a day to go somewhere to do this, to go to the city. You don't want to be in the middle of a function for two and a half hours, and all of a sudden you missed a text that, you know, somebody got traded,
sure,
somebody got hired, fired, whatever it may be. And so, I try to do some of these things, you know, this time of the year. Like during the year, with people and charities, you know, I used to invite some people to ESPN and bring them up there and auction that off. And ESPN doesn't really allow that, and we don't go to ESPN. So what I do these days is I do like a 30-minute fancy football call that we've auctioned off. And so I get a day where literally I call back like 14 different charities that we auctioned off these things for. And I just sit in front of my phone and do that all day. So, I mean, those are some of the things you do. And honestly, it's just nice not to have to do it. My life doesn't change much. Like, honestly, I'll still get calls from people that I know around the league, or I'll work out in the morning and talk to people in the afternoon and hang out with your family. And I haven't played my first round of golf in a year. I'm going to try to do that in the next couple of weeks, maybe get out there 2-3 times, things like that, just to kind of stay busy.
The one thing I'm looking at with the Eagles, the start of the show today, looking at that Eagles defensive depth chart,
mm-hmm,
and how they have managed to find four veteran players to plug into a defense that was 12th in points allowed last year. And then still you then draft Jordan Davis. You've got N'Kobe Dean. That depth chart looks so much different for Jonathan Gannon. I wonder how much of a different Jonathan Gannon we'll see this year. Will we see one who is a little more creative, a little more aggressive, now that he's been given, I guess, the ingredients to cook the meal, to use a Bill Parcells?
Mm-hmm. Well, look, I mean, you know, the more assets a coach is given, the more talent he has, the more he's able to shine. And you know, I don't know that he'll be able to do that much more. Who knows? But certainly the defense should play better with all the talent it has. I think, you know, coaches do what coaches do. It's up to the defense to elevate its performance, and this defense looks like it certainly has the chance to be able to do that. Now we'll see whether the guys can get it done.
Shefty, we had Dick Vermeil in studio yesterday, Hall of Fame coach, obviously.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And just talking to him about his changes from his coaching career when he started with the Eagles, just hard as nails and in the office 24/7, and then lightening up through the years and you know, ultimately winning the Super Bowl. Is there a big difference in coaching from when you first started covering the league to where it is now in kind of comparison to what Vermeil talked to us about yesterday?
You know, first of all, I remember Gary Smith, the great Gary Smith, the writer.
I worked with him.
I'll tell you a funny story about him, but he did a lengthy takeout on Dick Vermeil that ran in Sports Illustrated that I would literally read over and over when I was in college, like just to study. Like, it was incredible. It was so good. And so, you know, I remember Dick Vermeil coming to ESPN, having the chance to meet somebody like that, and they were talking about the burnout factor and how hard he went. And when you talk about the coaches today, I think the main difference, and I'd be curious to know what the coaches of today would say, is just the technology around them is different. So they're able to do things on the computer and see things video-wise that, you know, back in the day wasn't as easy, like anybody else. I think that's a change. But in terms of how hard these guys go, scaling back the hours, that doesn't happen. I mean, some of the guys try to be smarter about it. And some guys, I mean, there have been some coaches around the league who don't work around the clock like a Dick Vermeil, like some others. But I think coaches are wired basically one way. And that's just to basically pour everything they have into it as much as they can, at all hours of the day, anytime they can, to me.
Will you get 99-cent pizza when you're in the city today?
You know,
You've done the 99-cent slice. You've done it. It's great.
No, listen. You know, you'd be hard-pressed to go find bad pizza anywhere, whether it's 99 cents or $2.99, okay?
Exactly.
I don't care what it is. Like, I mean, any pizzeria. Like, I did a charity event a few months back, driving back, and I was in an Uber, and I said to the guy, I'm like, hey, just pull over. Next pizzeria, just pull over. I need to eat a slice. I got to get a slice.
Excellent.
You know, and yeah, I mean, that's what you do.
You take care of that. Take care of that today. Good work with the charities today, Adam, and enjoy a little bit of giving back a little bit. That's great.
Well, it's just, you know what it is. It's a quieter, slower time. But
love it.
The light doesn't change much. I mean, it's still the same.
Your phone. Put the phone down. Thanks, Adam.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Shefty.
Adam Schefter putting the phone down there on the Comcast Business Hotline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.